Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. We have seen in chapter 1, verses 1 through 21, the fighting of the enemy. The fighting of the enemy. Secondly, we have seen the sparing of the enemy. Chapter 1, verse 21, and then verses 27 through 36. And then we have seen imitating the enemy. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, this morning, we're going to look at number 4, obeying the enemy. Obeying the enemy. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. Verses 6 through 23. So let's have three volunteers. You got 17 verses, so it'd be 6, 6, and 5. How about that? Someone read verses 6 through 11. Is that 6? 6 through 11? Or is that 5? All right, Mary, you read 6 through 11, chapter 2, okay? Then 12 through what? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I forgot you. I'm sorry. No, it's not. We're out of order. Everything's going to fall apart from here on out. All right, you read 12 through 17. And then 18 through 23. Volunteer. 18 through 23. Miss Betty, okay. All right. Go ahead, Mary.
And when Joshua dismissed the people, children of Israel went each to its own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders, and outlived Joshua, who had been all the great, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath here in the mountain of Ephraim and on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals.
And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, and the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so.
And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. The Lord repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk. therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of the Joshua.
Father, we ask that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. I pray for your Holy Spirit to control every thought and every word that is spoken today. And Lord, I pray you be glorified and increase our faith in you, our love for you, and our love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Obeying the enemy. One of two things are going to happen in our lives. We are either going to conquer sin, or sin is going to conquer us. I mean, that's ultimately the way life works out. We're either going to be conquered by sin or we're going to conquer it. One nation after another were allowed by God to enslave the nation of Israel as God chastened his people exactly as he said he would. He didn't do anything he didn't say he was going to do. If they forsook him, he would chasten them. And he did it out of love. He did it because he wanted them to repent, get right with him. So with that in mind, let's notice the sins of this new generation. The sins of this new generation. As we go through these things, as I said in the very beginning of the study, we need to remember how relevant this book is and how it applies to our lives in the United States of America today. It's not some obscure book from way back in the Old Testament that we just study because it's in there and it really doesn't apply to us. Oh, it does very much so. And you'll see as we go through the book how relevant it really is. So number one, under the sins of the new generation, they forgot what God had done. They forgot what God had done, verses 6 through 10. And I'm not going to reread all these. We took the time to have the whole rest of the chapter read. But I'm going to draw your attention to two verses. Number one, verse 7, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Then God did not see fit to appoint another man to lead the people. So the elders that served under Joshua, they led the people until they all died off. Who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. I want you for a moment just to think, because this kind of stuff is not taught much in our schools anymore. Think about the founding of our nation. If you have the time, I would encourage you to go to Hillsdale College, I think it's .org. And they have all kinds of courses that are free of charge. They have some excellent courses on the founding of our nation, the Constitution. It'd be a great thing, a good refresher course. I have not taken it yet, but I am going to. Just a good refresher course so we can be reminded of how this nation was founded. Do you think the newer generations know much at all about the true founding of America? I know you know that the Ivy League schools were founded to train preachers and missionaries to do the work of God. You knew that, right? All of the big name Ivy League schools. Now they train them to protest Israel. Oh, no, the professors aren't involved. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are involved. And some are even protesting with the kids. That's how far we've gone. We have forgotten. The younger generation has forgotten. Look at verse number 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So they all died out, and there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the question is, why not? Why didn't they know? Because the previous generation did not obey the word of God as outlined in Deuteronomy 6 and other places. They were to teach their children and grandchildren, and they didn't. Why are we in the state that we're in right now? Because parents and grandparents did not teach their children and their grandchildren the truth of the Word of God and the truth regarding the founding of our nation. And it's disheartening to see what's happening to America. I mean, it's disheartening. It's heartbreaking. Not surprising. You throw God out of society and bad things happen. Right? God's been thrown out of a lot of churches in our nation. You say, oh, no, he has. Yes, he has. The true God and the true gospel have been thrown out of many, even mainline denominations in our country. How many churches in the United States, percentage-wise, do you think preach the unadulterated word of God? Not very many, are there? There might be a watered-down version. I was reminded this morning, God spoke to my heart about it. You know, you know all about my past going to a Lutheran church. I was there almost every Sunday as a child until I graduated from high school. I received my first communion as a teenager after taking 2 years to memorize Luther's Small Catechism, which contained a lot of good stuff. Ten Commandments were in there, explanation of the Ten Commandments. You had the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. It had all kinds of different things that were true, that were in that book. Luther was, he was a man of God. He got saved, and he was a big part of the Reformation. So I learned a lot of great things, and I'm going to bring out some of this in the next hour. The fact that I knew intellectually a lot of truth, and I wasn't saved. You would be shocked how many people think just because they know some things, including the gospel, that somehow or another that means they're on their way to heaven. Salvation doesn't stop with the intellect, does it? Again, that's as far as I'll go now, but we're going to talk about that just a little bit. It's part of Colossians study. The new generation had lost the significance of who Joshua was, who Moses was, what God had done. They were living for themselves. They were living in disobedience. They were living in idolatry. You remember Orwell that wrote the novel 1984? How many of you know about 1984? I never read it. Probably should have. But he said this, and I quote, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." Now, apply this to men like Hitler and Stalin. They took control of their present in the 30s for Hitler, about the same time, I guess, for Stalin, maybe a little later. Then rewrote past history to gain control of future events. Does that sound familiar? Is exactly what is happening now. And for a time, it worked. Thank God it didn't continue on. I mean, you still have some of this, but I mean to the extent that it was back in the days of Hitler and Stalin. True history needs to be taught. True history needs to be taught. Because if we don't learn from the past, what happens? We are doomed to repeat it, correct? All the mistakes that we make. Now, how is society dealing with this today? Well, for the last 5, 6, 7, whatever years, it's tearing down statues. Correct?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. How does that change the past? Does that erase the mistakes that we've made as Americans? The statues remind us of where we failed as well as heroes that we recognize. Because some of the men that were represented in those statues, because they had some foibles, you know, they weren't perfect. The new generation, say, we need to tear them down. We need to change the names of these schools. George Washington had slaves. We need to change the name. If a school is named after George Washington, that's a bad thing. Or Jefferson or any of these guys, they were bad. They were white supremacists, and on it goes, because the kids don't know the true history of the United States of America. I told you a while back, I taught a third grade class and I had to teach history. It was part of the curriculum. And basically, the Revolutionary War was women helping the men by giving them water. That was one of the main points brought out in my little lesson I had to teach that day. And I think it also talked about some of the non-whites that had been involved. And it did nothing with George Washington and what he accomplished during the Revolutionary War. That's the kind of stuff our kids are being taught. Watered down history. And of course, God is left out. We're not going to put God in there. Are you kidding me? That's not going to happen. Ronald Reagan, my favorite president of all time, even more than Trump. Though I like Trump's policies a lot. Ronald Reagan said this: freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. He said, we didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like to live in the United States where men were free, end of quote. That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. That's what happened to Israel. Remember the warnings of Moses in places like Deuteronomy 10. He said, now you're going to go into a land that you didn't work for. You didn't build the houses. You didn't plant the vineyards. You're going to have cattle that you're going to just inherit. And when you get all this stuff, please be careful, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, be careful to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. As generations have gone by in our nation, we have slowly but surely forgotten the Lord. We've forgotten the Lord. Many Christians have become nominal at best. Many that profess to know Christ show no fruits of true salvation. It's become a Sunday morning social club in many places where truth is not taught, preached, and stood for, and it certainly is not expressed when we leave the confines of this building. We have to teach the new generations to recognize and appreciate the great men and women who helped to make America great, those who sacrificed life and limb, those early founders who said that we are willing to give our lives and our fortunes to build this nation, which was founded upon the moral precepts of the Word of God. There's no way you can look at the founding of our nation and the buildings in Washington, D.C., that were built in those early years and not see the hand of God all over it. And we have one hope for America. It's not the election in November, though that's critical. And by the way, please vote in the primaries. There are a lot of down ballot people that are voted for in the May primary that is not on the general ballot. It's decided in May. Did you know that? So don't say, well, I'm just going to wait. I'll vote for president in November. No. I'm speaking, of course, to West Virginians. I don't know what Virginia's thingy is. I don't remember, even though I lived there for a while. So please, West Virginians, early voting, I think, starts, might even be the first, might be Wednesday, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's soon. I kept the paper from this past Wednesday, has all the information in it. But, and vote intelligently. A lot of good candidates. Some, there are several. And some, there's only one. You have one choice. But anyway, please don't forget to vote. But we have to start renouncing. I don't know if we have well enough or not. The revision is to take history and twist it and change it. And now you got this 1619, and you know, which is a bunch of hooey. It's not historically accurate. And even was it Biden that started this Juneteenth? Is he the one that made it official? It's official now. It's Juneteenth. Yeah, it's the 1619 project, where that's the real date of the founding of the United States, not 1776. You've heard about it, right? If you haven't, Google it and check it out, okay? That's where we're at. Criminalizing, debunking the heroes of the past because we forgot what God has done in our past. Secondly, number two, the second sin of the new generation, they forsook what God had said. They forsook what God had said. They had forgotten Joshua. And since they had forgotten Joshua, they forgot his farewell speeches. The speeches were given to the leaders and were given to the people. You can check them out again if you'd like in Joshua 23 and 24. Secondly, they would have known the law of Moses as well, for in the speeches that Joshua gave, he reminded them of God's covenant that he made with Israel and the responsibility that the people had to keep, to obey the covenant. But Israel turned away from the word of God. Sound familiar? Again, the world, we're not shocked that the world rejects the word of God. They reject Christ. But again, many churches are rejecting the truth of the word of God, only believing parts of it, if any of it, rejecting other parts of it. And when we reject or ignore the word of God, we are in effect rejecting God, forsaking God himself, are we not? And that's what they did. They forsook the Lord. The children of Israel, verse 11, did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. That is plural. Some translations have the Baals. The Canaanites had a lot of false gods. They had three main ones. Let me give you their three main gods, because you read about them a lot in the Old Testament. Number one is El. El, it's our word, or the Hebrew word for God. But El was the supreme Canaanite deity of God, a god of uncontrolled lust and a bloody tyrant. The name means strong and powerful. El. Second one is Baal. Baal was El's son and successor, called the Lord of Heaven, small L, of course. A farm god of rain and storm. The name means Lord, possessor. It was a cult at Phoenicia. Included animal sacrifices, included ritual meals, licentious dances, sacred prostitution by both men and women. That was Baal. The third was Anath. A-N-A-T-H, sister wife of Baal, also called Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. Sometimes Astarte, A-S-T-A-R-T-E. Patroness of sex and war, was called virgin and holy, but was in fact a sacred prostitute. Ashtaroth. I think it's through that name that we get the name Easter. Isn't that true? I'm pretty sure Easter comes out of a root of that. I know that we're talking New Testament, Greek, Old Testament, Hebrew, but it's connected because it, Easter, God of, you know, we do a little Easter egg thing, God of fertility. You can check that out. Remember what not to do. Never just automatically take my word for it. I'm serious. Whether it be, now I do my best to be accurate, okay? I really do. Could do better, but I do my best. And what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just take any man's word? Even when the scripture is taught, search it out. That's what the Berean believers did in the book of Acts 17. Search it out. Make sure it's so. Because if you search it out and make sure it's so, you can form convictions. If you just take my word for it, like I remember, maybe this has happened to you, I was reading about some preacher, evangelist, was in a church and he preached and he was talking to some of the men afterward and he said, so are you a born-again believer? The guy said, yeah, sure am. Well, what do you believe? Well, I believe what the pastor believes. Well, what does he believe? No, I believe what the church believes. Well, what do they believe? Well, they believe what the pastor believes. Well, what's the pastor believe? And he went around this big circle. Never really answering the question of what do you believe? We need to know what we believe and a reason for the hope that is in us, don't we? Yes, sir.
Something's been on my mind that I'm kind of interested in your old opinion. You know, when we began the study, we found that God appointed a group of people as his ministers, the Levites. He appointed them for Israel to be their ministers. And throughout...
Well, it's more than that, Fred. Priests were part of the tribe of Levi, but there were other Levites that did other things.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
These people were chosen of God.
Okay.
And for a long time, up until the last book of the Bible, I believe, they were still the people that God had chosen, correct?
Who? Who were the people?
Levites were the people that God had chosen.
Well, for the Jews, yeah.
Yes, okay. Then in... the time before Christ came, when the Assyrians captured Israel, that they did away with the Levites being priests, and they made it a political job, and they became part of what was called the Sanhedrin, right?
That would be a very general way to say it. When the nation was divided after Solomon, that's when everything began to fall apart. And then you had the 400 silent years, called the silent years, because God didn't really speak through prophets for a period of time before Christ came. And out of that, of course, you ended up then, you didn't have the temple. Now you had synagogues came on the scene, and you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the different Essenes and all the Zealots and on and on and on and on it goes.
But my point is...
Yeah, what's your point, Fred?
I'm trying to get there.
Okay.
My point is that God had a specific group of people that he tasked with representing him, so to speak, in their worship services. Then that ended in a period of time when Israel or the people decided that they didn't want to do that no more. So the job became a political job. The priest became a political job. The reason I say all that is that in today's society, in today's world, if we look at the church, you know, in the book of Acts, it talks about how the church was formed and all the things. If we look at that, And the reason I say that is I've been watching the news a lot about just recently the United Methodists had their conference. And of course, we know the Methodists have splintered all up.
Right.
But it appears to me that this is kind of the same trend that Israel went through with the Levites, is that the America is going through with the church, where those that have the money and the power want to be the spokesman for the church, the preachers. For example, I've been reading the United Methodists. They want, what do you call it, LGBT, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They want them to be able to be preachers, ministers in the church. It's because they have the money behind them to do this. So it looks as though that America, one of the problems of many that we have is that those with money and power are ruling the church.
Certain denominations, maybe that would be true. But as far as the Levites in the Old Testament, that yeah, as the time got closer to Christ, there was more and more politics with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was very political. It wasn't like at one time, okay, they went to Assyria, they were captives there in Assyria, then later southern tribes went to Babylon. And at that moment, it became political. It was a gradual downtrend until finally the time of Christ. They still claim to be, you know, like Pharisees were the strict keepers of the law, so to speak, you know, the fundamentalists of the day. But of course, they didn't know anything about the spirit of the law. It was all the letter. But as far as what you're saying about today in America, I mean, unfortunately, in a lot of our society, especially in politics, money talks and power. And we have a political party that's willing to do anything, and they don't care anymore. They used to be sneaky about it, not anymore. They could care less. They're going to railroad and roughshod their way. They're going to do everything possible to stay in power. I don't care what it is, who it hurts, what laws it breaks, and some of that does, of course, trickle down into the church as well, especially mainline churches. I would agree with that. What? Yes, sir. Billy.
I was going to say that the issue is, if you look at what Fred was talking about, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the priesthood and all that
mm-hmm,
stuff,
mm-hmm.
It was basically the power is what they were looking at. And then we have that same thing today. And we have people that are willing to literally destroy the very foundations of our country, which is the legal system.
Yep.
They absolutely ignore.
They don't care.
Any of the things, they don't care.
Don't care.
And that is what, if you look through that history, that is one of the main things that has destroyed countries. Rome
yeah.
is a perfect example of that.
Becomes lawless. I mean, when's the last time that a Supreme Court decision came down that said very clearly that, no, Mr. President, you do not have the power to forgive student loans? And the president responds, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it anyway. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day that would happen? Who's the final authority, humanly speaking, in our land? The Supreme Court. If they say it, what's that mean? It's a done deal, right? There's no other recourse. You can't appeal anymore. You went to the United States Supreme Court. They made a decision. It's over. Not today. Not today. Doesn't matter. You do what you want. I'm in power. You're not. Too bad for you.
Wouldn't that make him an emperor
then? Yeah.
Pretty much a supreme leader.
And he's not even smart enough to know what room he's in, much less be an emperor. He's an emperor with no clothes. Yes, sir.
Our political leaders are supposed to set the stage for the country. I know that I don't like getting into politics, but I know we're in situations where we're going to come down to two candidates. Biden claims to be a Catholic, but yet he's for abortion and all of the things that even the Pope says you can't do that.
Right.
And you have the other guy who claims whatever he claims. The thing of it is, neither one of the candidates...
Claims to be rich.
Neither one of the candidates that we have, and I'm not saying... I am saying this. Neither one of the candidates we have are true examples of godly men. That does not mean, in my mind, that they can't run the country. Because I keep coming back to the thing, remember the king... I can't quote this, but you can. The king that let one of these Israelites go back to Jerusalem to build the walls and the city.
Nehemiah?
This king was not a Christian.
Ahasuerus? Yeah.
What was his name?
Ahasuerus.
That don't sound right, but it might be. But anyway, he was not
I think
Christian
that's the one.
Man. But he allowed these people and supplies to go back to Jerusalem to build that.
Right.
And which tells me that God can use somebody that's not a professing Christian to do his will the way he wants it done.
Well, God has for forever, throughout history. Look at the nations he used to smite Israel. Babylon wasn't godly, but God used them to put Judah in their place. Same with the Assyrians. You talked about the Syria. And God does that all the time. I think he's done it in human history, even in 20 and 21st centuries. The way I look at it, the President of the United States, he's not my pastor. He's not my spiritual leader. It'd be great if he was a spiritual leader. But I think it needs to be a moral, a fairly decent person. Someone that has the good of the nation above his own. A man like Trump, who a lot about him I don't like, he would never be my buddy, and we'd probably never have supper together, if he would agree. But I liked his policies, and he did not have to run. He had everything money could buy and more. But he chose to go through the hell he's going through because I really believe he loves the United States and he knows that we're going down a path of utter destruction. I mean, it's the worst situation we've ever been in. I mean, we are heading very close to a time of financial ruin. I mean, it's really close. If he wins re-election, in my opinion, we will collapse financially. He's got things he's saying openly. I'm canceling the tax cuts. I'm doing this. I'm doing that, which he said benefited the rich. But if you look at the facts, which they're not interested in, you will find that the middle class were the main beneficiaries of that. He's going to cancel that. Taxes are going to go up like crazy. Corporate tax is going to go up. I know we're getting very political now. But my point is things are very bleak. But God is the one that can overrule. And the only final salvation of our nation is going to be the Lord. Yes, sir.
I think something we need to remember, and we have to put this to the forefront of all that's going on, is that God has a plan. And his plan is to bring us to the point of the end of this age and to judge the world and to establish his kingdom. In that process, there will be countries that will be eliminated because they have fallen away from God or they don't suit his purposes. And like I said, I'm not a scholar. I'm not saying I know all the things about prophecy and eschatology, but I've studied it now for over 40 years. And the one thing that stands out to me among all the books that I've read, including the Bible and interpretations thereof, the United States is not present, as far as we can tell, by the establishment of those nations.
I know you keep saying that, and I keep telling you I don't see it, but I don't see where that's significant. Just because we're not listed doesn't mean we're not going to be in existence.
We'll probably be there, but we're not going to be there in the
Oh, probably. If think, I wouldn't argue with that. There's a good possibility. Yeah.
Authoritarian fascist government, which we're fast approaching.
Yeah, we are.
As we speak.
We are. We are already. I think we're, as of right. Not saying it can't change really quickly, but we're a police state.
Only if God wills.
We're a police state. There's no question. Yeah, right. We're a police state. All right, let's move on. Didn't mean to get off on that. Who was the one that started that? Who's that guy back here in the vest? But it was good. You know, that's good. We should discuss these things. It all matters. It's part of our lives. You know, we don't live. It's not like we have church life and then we have life out there. It's supposed to, we're Christians. We have a Christian life, whether here, there, or wherever we're at. Pray for the church, revival and growth. Pray for our nation, Israel, Ukraine, law enforcement, our troops, our missionaries. Pray for Hope House. Pray for Mark. Good days, bad days. Rhonda needs our prayers for strength as well. Pray for Mary, continued health. Bill, that God would either either rejuvenate or renew those kidneys of his. But you're
actually, my creatinine level came down, which is interesting.
That God, is he something or what? All right, pray for Brody. Any news on Brody? Anything new? No. Judy Shade, her health situation. Melissa Wiles has surgery May the 17th. It's a friend of Becca's. Pray for Anna Dale's brother, Rick, with second-degree burns. Jane Simpson is the name of the Millers. As a matter of fact, I think she used to sing in the group. I take that back. I don't think it was Randy's wife. I think it was somebody else. But anyway, pray for her. That's Randy Simpson's wife, Jane, with cancer. Pray for Dick Holliday, health and healing. Also, friend John with cancer. Salvation, Jesse Hedrick, Jeremy Burkholder, the Rocky Miller family, death of Rocky's wife, Darlene. Is that ours?
Yeah.
Death in family, Betty Rhymes, back problems, may need surgery. Praise Misty Nixon is doing much better, so we praise the Lord for that. We spent a long time praying for her. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Leg need to stay off it, right?
Right.
So pray for Tammy. Linda Crawford, the death of her husband. You're just full of good news, aren't you?
I know. Hey,
who can we call? I know. Annadale.
I didn't put on there, but I'd like to mention.
You little stinker. All right, go ahead, bud.
The two young state troopers that were shot, I actually seen the one that got his leg shot off. Both of them's in their 20s.
Come on, I didn't hear about that. Is that here or some other state?
Yeah, they went to Musselman High School. They were serving when? Papers in Berkeley County. Oh, it's been a month ago. I went to a fundraiser.
Wow.
I went to a fundraiser for them. They're in their 20s, and they were delivering a paper. They'd only been state troopers like a year or two, and they were delivering papers to a guy, and he shot one and shot his leg off, bottom part of his leg, and the other fella he shot in the shoulder. And I was at a fundraiser, and I saw him, and it just makes me think how scary it is to have a job like that, where you walk up, knock on the door, and somebody shoots you.
Man, that's awful.
that Dickie Holliday? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then appraise Rachel GUE, right? Salvation. She got saved. Scotty led her to the Lord. I'm so proud. Oh, that makes me a grandparent. Wow. And then pray for Yuna and Nasterian Sabet. Sabet. Church planner, Willow Creek Persian Church in Walnut Creek, California. I told you most of this book are immigrants that have planted churches in various cities. Pray for our leadership to be bold and safe when they share the gospel with Farsi speakers from Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan. I know I'm saying that wrong. Pray for our church as we continue to grow and need adequate space to meet. All right, let's stand together. We're running a little bit late, so we'll gather together around 5 after, okay? Father, we're thankful for the good Sunday school. We had good discussions and involvement, and I appreciate that, and we look for that, and we're thankful for it. We pray that you touch the bodies of these who called out to you. There are many physical needs, and we know and we've seen you meet physical needs for decades. We know that you are the great physician. So if it please you, be your will. We pray for healing. We pray, Lord, for those with upcoming tests and surgeries, that you would guide the doctors and the nurses and those performing the tests, and may your will be done in their lives. And any of these that don't know Christ as Savior as a result of what they're going through, Lord, we pray that they would come to know Christ as Savior before it's too late. We pray, Lord, for our church. We pray, Lord, for revival. We pray for folks to come in, become a part of our local assembly. We pray to be able to reach more with the gospel of Christ. We thank you for Rachel. And we pray, Lord, that you work in her in her home situation and the issues there. And, Lord, we know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Continue, Lord, to keep her close to you. The devil's mad, and he's going to do everything he can to discourage her. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, please work in her heart. Give her a hunger for your word and a desire to serve and obey you. We thank you, Lord, for those that are here to be a part of this hour. We pray you bless it. May your word go forth with power, with wisdom, with your authority, and may it be received with the love that it's given out. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got about 7 minutes, so you can facilitate, walk around, say hi, introduce yourself to whomever, fellowship a little bit, cheer somebody up. Right, Paco? Do a little cheering up. See what I'm saying?